The co-host of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend from the Daily Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Morning to you, mate.
Good morning. How are we all?
Very well.
All is good in my world. Getting all geared up. I'm heading up to Magic Round on Friday. So we've got two games Friday, three Saturday, three Sunday. And I think they're expecting crowds of upwards of 40,000 for all 3 days. So it should be a really, really great weekend for rugby league.
Great concept, isn't it? I was up there 2 years ago and it was great in Brizzy.
Yeah,
I think it works really well.
Yeah, I think there's good coin to be made. The public enjoy it. The players enjoy it. I don't think there's any real downside, to be truthful. I guess there's 8 home teams that have to take their games away. They are compensated. So in the end, I think it's going to be a ripping round. The only problem I've got, and it's not really a major issue, is that there's no real blockbuster game. You go through the 8 games, and there's some reasonable games there. But there isn't that one game, and it's just a bit of bad luck. It's no one's fault. It's just a bit of bad luck that you don't have that one feature game where you're thinking, you know what, this game is going to be an absolute belter.
It's fair call.
Yeah, but they wanted to make sure Queensland side was playing on every day.
Now, which, there's reasons, Loz.
Yeah, which game would you have liked to have seen? You know, if the Broncos were going great and Manly were going good, that'd be the blockbuster game. But of course, both them have had their issues. And then you go, the Titans taking on Penrith. Penrith are flying high and Titans have been inconsistent. The Cowboys we expected a lot more of. And they've been okay the last few weeks, taking on a injury-depleted Roosters. So I understand them trying to have a Queensland side playing every day, but it just hasn't worked out for whatever reason.
You go through all those games, Loz, and I don't think there'd be big crowds at any of those games if they were played at their home grounds. There's no game there in my eyes, outside of the Broncos, of course, of the Sydney sides that have gone north that would have pulled big crowds for their individual games.
What's the match of the round?
I don't think there is one.
There isn't one.
They're all
about
5 or 6 out of 10. Yeah. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm not trying to denigrate it in any way. I'm just saying it's a shame through bad luck and the draw that there's no real feature game which we get really excited about.
Yeah, but again, you just don't know at the start of the year, do you?
Of course.
You know, you're expecting some teams to be a lot better than what they have turned out to be. And if they were playing a lot better, there would be a blockbuster game. But that's just how it unfolds.
It'll be a great carnival atmosphere, Laurie. There'll be plenty of great football. I know the players are excited. The coaches are excited. And it'll all unfold, I guess, in front of big crowds, excuse me, every day.
One of the biggest stories in the last 24 hours has been Kyle Flanagan. Bulldogs halfback obviously was benched on Sunday against the Dragons, fronted at a press conference yesterday and then found out yesterday afternoon he was dropped. Did the Bulldogs handle it the right way? Should they have put him up for media? Did he want to go up for media? How did it all unfold yesterday?
I don't think the media, well, they didn't. The media didn't know at the time when they were probing Kyle about his form whether he was going to be in the side. In fact, I think he was asked and he said, as far as I know, I'm in the side. Generally speaking, when you put a player up for media, he is playing. Otherwise, you don't put him up for media. It's fairly clear cut. So if the Bulldogs knew that he wasn't going to be picked, I can't work out why they would put him up for media. I thought it was cruel to do that to the kid if they knew. And the side came out only a couple of hours later. So look, I'll give the benefit of the doubt to the Dogs and to Baz that maybe they didn't know at that point, but you can't help but think there was a sneaking suspicion in there that he wasn't going to play. And if he wasn't going to play, why do they push him out there in front of all the cameras?
He didn't find out he wasn't playing, though, did he, Bulldog, in the press conference? He found out after the press conference that he wasn't playing.
Yeah, he said
so from his perspective, it wasn't like he was thrown to the media knowing, I'm not picked this week, sorry, and I'm not in the team, and I've got to hide that from the media. Or do you think that could have been the case? Do you think he might have known he'd been dropped?
He may have, Clarkey, I don't know. But when he was asked, he did say, as far as I know, I'm playing.
Okay.
And Kyle wouldn't be telling a book.
Yeah, okay.
So I think at that point he thought he was playing.
Yep.
So if the Dogs did know he wasn't playing, I don't know why they bothered to put him out there. Clearly the kid's unsettled mentally at the moment. We saw that in those, they're quite heart-wrenching, weren't they, Laurie, to see a first-grade player break down in tears in front of the media. And it was quite sad. He's had a lot of pressure, Cole, but that also may have been a reason why Trent decided to arrest him.
To the defence of the Bulldogs, though, it would have been a big story either way if they didn't put him up for media, didn't select him for first grade and then shielded him from the media this week. Because everyone in the media world would have been wanting to speak to Cole Flanagan.
They could have.
So they were going to get heat on them either way, the Bulldogs.
Potentially.
Yeah, oh, they would have. You know how it works.
Yeah, I do. But they could have said, look, Cole's not doing media today because he won't be in the side. They could have released that a little bit earlier. The teams are announced at 4 o'clock.
They don't announce who's doing... Well, in cricket you do. For example, the day before the test match, the captain always does the press conference. So if the captain doesn't show up for the press conference, you're asking questions. In rugby league, I can't imagine they would announce 2 days earlier who's doing media 2 days out, 1 day out, morning of.
They do announce it. Maybe the day before they'll put up put out an email saying... Media at Belmore, 10 o'clock, and the players will be A, B, and C.
But if they picked a different player, for example, the media would have had no idea.
If the email had gone out saying Cole Flanagan and everyone
and
turned up...
And if they pull him, different story.
Correct. So, look, it is confusing. I get it. And I'm really not having a shot at the Dogs here. It was just a complex situation. But if it was me, I would have said to the media, look, he has been dropped. We're leaking this out 4 or 5 hours before the team selection. He won't be named. Thus... he won't be doing media.
Yeah.
No, I would have shielded him more.
And I get that too, mate. But I do know that if he wasn't selected and they tried to shield him from the media for the rest of the
week...
You'd want
him today, wouldn't you? Tomorrow, until he talks.
Yeah, you'd want him today. And you still probably get the same reaction out of him. Because he got upset and got emotional when they asked him about his father. It wasn't about whether he was dropped or not.
He handled everything really well, Kyle. Yeah, once Shane came up...
Yeah.
He obviously became emotional, and I thought it was lovely.
Kyle should be ashamed of in regards to how he handled that press conference. I think that is that's the truth. That's exactly where you sit as an athlete through the tough days. The good days, it's rainbows and butterflies. You're smiling and life can't feel any better, but being a professional athlete, you go through some horrible days where you're brokenhearted, you're shattered, and you are emotional. So I don't think he has anything to be ashamed of.
Clarkie, let me ask you this. You went through a lot of tough times when you were captaining Australia, which is a lot more pressure than playing first grade NRL. Mm. Were there days when you were on your backside mentally, you were being probed and pushed by the media, where you almost felt like bursting into tears?
You do burst into tears. It's if you can control it in some possible way, if you call it control, you actually do it behind closed doors. So for me, again, I would use fitness. So the gym, for example, I would go to the gym at all time, 3 o'clock in the morning or midnight when there was nobody else there at the hotel. And that's where I'd be running on a treadmill and I'd burst into tears. But for me, it was about trying to do all that behind closed doors. And the other thing that I think people don't realise is what's happening outside of what you see. You see the athlete go and play on television. But what's happening in his personal life? What's happening in her personal life? What's happening with their family, their parents? Has their grandfather died? Like, there's so many other things that we never think of as fans. But yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster. It's the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. And that feeling when your dream's taken away from you, oh, it's devastating. I remember getting dropped 2005, flew back from Tasmania to Sydney, and nobody knew. It hadn't been announced because it was the end of a test match. I got on the aeroplane, and there it was. On the Qantas flight, they announced on the news that I'd been dropped. I just sunk into my chair, put my hat over my face, and I was devastated. I was so embarrassed that I'd been dropped, but I had nothing to be embarrassed about. I wasn't scoring enough runs. I should have been dropped. So what I had to do is then look at my game, improve and try and fight my way back. And that's where I think for Kyle, you don't see it at the time, but it might be a blessing in disguise. It might be the best thing that can happen to him because now he's got time outside of the media on him 24/7 and that expectation to look at his game, have the people that know him well look at his game and make improvements, get better. And that's why I say Kyle should not be embarrassed about how he handled yesterday's press conference. And he certainly has no one to prove that he's good enough to. It's just himself. If he does that, he'll be back.
I wrote a story yesterday, Clark. It was a full-page story quoting Brett Camorley saying that Matt Burton should be the general next year. So when he broke down yesterday, I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, gee, you know, hope I didn't contribute to that. And I felt a bit unsettled myself. Having said that, then I thought, well, you're also a journalist and you have to ask the questions.
Business, definitely.
And Kyle's going to have to go through a roller coaster, which is what a rugby league career is. And he's going to have good times and he'll have bad times. And how he handles that's up to him. I had no problem with yesterday either. I love players showing their emotion. But I guess like any sportsman, you're scrutinised.
Yep.
And you're probed.
And it toughens your bulldog as well. You honestly need a few of those days in your career to build that brick wall of toughness around yourself, because more stuff's coming. You know, again, whether it's on the field, off the field. Like for me, the hardest thing I ever dealt with in my career was the passing of Philip Hughes. But if I had to deal with that at 25, no way could I have done that. So through, you know, mistakes I made through my career, through criticism I copped on and off the field, I built a toughness that allowed me to be able to handle that situation a lot better, as hard as it was, a lot better than I would have been able at 25. So you can't see it at the time, but it's all, again, everyone says it. Like my dad said it to me my whole life, see it as a lesson, see it as a lesson, see it as a lesson. For Kyle, you watch, if he has a tough game or a poor game or lets his team down in 2 years' time, it'll be water off a duck's back, because he'll be stronger because of this experience, as hard as it is. So that's why I say I feel like this kid should hold his head high because he showed emotion. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, Michael Maguire and the Tigers. Why is he moving Adam Dewey to the centres?
Yeah, it was a strange one yesterday. It leaked out early on social media yesterday. A lot of Tigers fans were jumping up and down. But I will say this about Madge Loz, and you're obviously better qualified to discuss rugby league than I am. Madge was under pressure to make some changes. And when you're under pressure to make changes, you generally do. Because if you don't, you know, what's the old saying? Only a twit does the same thing every week and expects a different result. Mm. Why he did it, Laurie, you're better qualified. Oh. I did a bit of probing yesterday. I did work out that of the 6 tries Gold Coast Titans scored last week, 4 of them were down Moses Mbai's side. I spoke to a couple of coaches, rival coaches, and they told me that they think Moses Mbai is better defensively at 6 and can create more. Adam Dewey's more of a finisher who doesn't create that much. That's what they're saying, not my words. Would you agree?
Look, I don't know the reason why they've shifted him out to the centre position, but what I would say, he was developing okay as a 5'8". I think he's been one of their best, along with Dane Laurie, all year. Defensively, it will help him defending one end because he gets a back rower to work with him, and also the centre. When you're in that centre position, it's a hard place to defend because you just can get isolated at times. With the ball, yeah, he's probably a better ball player than Adam Dewey, but Dewey's strength is running. And I think that, you know, the more that he's getting involved in the game, the better that the Tigers will be. And probably because the other one was defensively, you know, he is a bigger body and, you know, probably a better read in defence than Moses, because Moses has sort of played a bit of everywhere, hasn't he? He's been hooker, 5'8", centre, he's been just the utility. So probably they feel combination-wise and defensively it'll work better if they go with that system. But Dewey is a strong run of the ball.
I was surprised, Laurie. Moses Mbai was talking at a media conference yesterday, and even he said...
He said that, yeah.
I was surprised myself. So when the player says it, you realise that there's something a little bit...
Yeah. He said there wasn't much conversation with the coach about it. He just sort of found out that this week I'm playing 6.
He might have just named them there too.
Yeah.
They mightn't line up there.
Yeah, good point.
You don't know. You know, they might have watched the video and thought, oh, if we name Moses here and Dewey's still at 5'8", that's where they're going to come. So let's sort of throw a spanner in the works and throw someone out there. I wouldn't have a clue.
If Dewey's been their best player, Loz, and a lot of people suggest that he has
Laurie,
been,
I think, have been,
what does it tell you, as being a former coach, Origin coach, about Michael Maguire's mindset?
Well, he's trying to look to see which is the best combination for his team. Yeah. He's unsure. He's unsure of what his best combination is.
I guess that comes with losing.
Well, once you lose, you pull your hair out and you're thinking, wow, which is the best way to go? Do you go with all-out defence? Do you go with all-out attack? How do I fit my best players, or I think my best players are, into this squad? Do I get rid of some of my senior players and bring some junior kids in that I'm not really quite sure how they're going to handle it? Do we run the risk of giving them an opportunity and getting blown away? Where does that leave us?
There's no time to blood when you're in this situation, is there? You don't want to be bloody.
You don't want to be
bloody. You're thinking
plenty about
the future, but you're also thinking about your job right here and now. Yeah. And they're running second last.
That's exactly right.
Isn't your plan A to move around your best players and hope that works. If it doesn't work, then your plan B is I've got to pick the youngsters.
Yeah, you shake the tree a little
bit. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But you've got to be careful not to give too many of them the opportunity at the same time where you're exposing them to a team that could put plenty on them. And what does that do for their self-confidence then? So you've got to try and integrate at the right time.
But he can't do nothing, as you said, Bulldog. What if Michael Maguire does nothing? It's
well, you get the same result, don't you, really?
How does he not get sacked if he does nothing?
Mm.
At least if he's trying things, I think people can then justify, well, he's tried everything. Like he's given, he's dropped players, his players have changed position. Like he's tried everything.
Yeah.
Where does it leave Luke Brooks? Because Brooks, he's now got another partner. He has partnered Moses Embiid earlier this year, but in terms of sustained partner at the scrum base, he's now got another one.
Well, they've got Jock Madden on the bench as well. So Madge could be playing funny buggers. He could start Madden. He could start with Brooks and Madden as the half 5/8 and put Embiid to the bench. He could move Embiid back out to the centre, start with Dewey. So there's a lot of options there. I'd like to hear what the decision, or why the decision was made to move Dewey, because I think he's been going okay there. But I think wherever you play Dewey, you know what you're going to get. I don't think Adam Dewey will be anything different other than what we've seen of him so far this year. He'll be strong defensively. He'll carry the ball well. And he might fill that right edge and make it a little bit stronger in defence.
He spoke so well the other day when we had him on the show as well. He was, and again, you can only go on what someone says, but he was so open. He could not care less where he plays. It was all about, how do I help this team win? So, again, maybe that's...
On air or off air, Clarkie said that.
No, well, it was on air, but you could get... I think you can tell as well, Bulldog. Like, I think you can... You know, I asked him about playing number one last year, and he said, yeah, I love that. I'm enjoying number six, and it's taken Luke Brooks and I a bit
more time. Yeah,
but, Clark,
you know what they're like. They say that publicly. If I asked you where you wanted to bat, you batted four, or you want, and they put you at six, you'd be saying, oh, I'll say I love four, but I don't want to be batting six.
Maybe, but I reckon...
They say it. They have to.
If you're a senior player, or if you're, you know, in a leadership position, I think that does change a bit. I think you care more about the team winning than your own personal performance. So I think if he says, okay, I go into the centres, obviously I'd rather be at six, but if I play in the centres and it helps us win, I'd rather win than me be man of the match and us get flogged by 40.
Morning, Rick. How are you?
Morning, fellas. Just a quickie for Bulldog. Dale Finucane, any idea where he's got to go and any chance if that's Manly? Because we could do with a good middle forward like that.
I think most clubs could. He's such a terrific player for so many years now. He's tough, he's hard, he gets through his work. Melbourne want to keep him, Rick, but I can tell you that North Queensland are very interested. The Cowboys, as far as I know, have made an offer to him and to Nicho Hynes, the Melbourne Storm sort of substitute fullback, I guess you could say. So there's a couple of good players from the Melbourne Storm system, which Todd Payton likes and wants. So I think, Rick, it'd only be re-signing with Melbourne or off to the Cowboys.
Good on you, Rick. Hi, Stu.
Hey, boys, how are you? Just another quickie. Where does Andrew Fifita find himself sort of end of this year, beginning of next year?
Good question, Stu. I really don't know. At this point, I can't see who's going to sign him. He's on some big money. I certainly think he'd have to take a pretty heavy pay cut to be re-signed. I can't see him being at the Sharks, but I don't know what Craig Fitzgibbon...
He's got another year to go.
..thinks him. He does.
He's got another year to go on his contract, which is worth around $800,000.
Correct. So he won't go anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. That's exactly right. Unless Cronulla are prepared to pay half his freight for someone else to pick him up.
Yeah. Look, John Morris didn't rate him, Stu, clearly. But look, Craig Fitzgibbon might. I don't know Fitzy's opinions of him. He was... there was a tenuous link to the Roosters this year when Lindsay Collins went down. That won't be happening, but... You know, clearly, he's an elite player. He's played State of Origin. He's played for his country. But at the moment, he just can't seem to get out of reserve grade. And once you get in that rut, it's very difficult to get out of it.
Well, he's back in the 17 on the bench this week for the game against Souths. Thanks for the call, Stu. Morning, Ryan.
Yeah, g'day, Bulldog. I just want to know why Lou Brooks is untouchable. Like, he's been the halfback for, what, 7, 8 years now. Achieved nothing, but they just will not drop him.
It's a good question. A lot of people out there say the same thing. Brooksy celebrated his 150th NRL game about 4 weeks ago, and not one of those 150 have been in a semi-final. So, you know, you've got to be You know, he's got to be scrutinised like everybody else. He knows he's got to take the Tigers to this this world of success, and he hasn't been able to do it. And then I'm not picking out Luke Brooks and criticising him individually, but the stats are all there for everybody to see. He just has not got him to the semi-finals. But what's the answer? Who do they pick? Do they get rid of him? He's on a big contract. It's complex with a salary cap, and it's easy to get rid of him, but you know, who's better and who do you bring in?
Good on you, Ryan. Appreciate the call, mate. Just a couple of things before you go, Bulldog. Firstly, the Raiders. It's been a hard couple of weeks. Now, Josh Hodgson, there was some rumours that he was being linked to Brisbane, but Brisbane have all but ruled that out.
Yeah, they've said no to that approach, if that's the right word. Jake Turpin, the hooker, has actually been named captain, I think, this week. So that's a clear indication from Kevin Walters that he believes Turpin is the future. I don't think the Raiders will release Josh Hodgson. He's back this week, isn't he, guys?
Yes.
Look, if push comes to shove, they might ask for a player swap. He's been linked to a move back to England. All's not great with Josh Hodgson down in the capital, but it seems to have gone south fairly quickly. It was only like last year he was among the best hookers in the competition.
Yeah, I think he's a wonderful number nine, and obviously injured his knee last year and hasn't come back as well as what they would have hoped. And you know, he's suffered with injury and now he's on the bench this weekend. But they need Josh Hodgson if they're to play finals football and go deep into finals. They need him to be playing his best.
Are they more fluent with Starling than Hodgson in attack?
I'm a big rap on Josh Hodgson. I know people saying he stop starts the attack, and that's fine. That he might do, but that's still a half and 5/8 responsibility to say to the hooker, listen, once you've opened the door, then it's our turn.
Mm.
So it's a communication thing. I still think Josh Hodgson is the best hooker for Canberra to get their forwards over the advantage line and to create momentum. And then after they've created momentum, then your halves are on the advantage line pushing and wanting the ball rather than letting Josh go another one. That's the difference, I think. It's a matter of them communicating and saying to Josh, once you've done the damage, don't do any more. Now it's our turn. We want the ball.
Just lastly, the legendary George Piggins, having some health issues.
Yeah, he is. I did a story about that in today's Telegraph. Look, he's got a severe infection. George is struggling a bit, but the whole rugby league family is behind him. Nolene, his wife of many years, says George is serious but stable. So it's just a waiting game now to see when George pulls through. But, you know, if there's a tougher man in rugby league, I don't know him. And George has had many great fights over the years, particularly over there at Redfern. And I think everyone in this studio in rugby league is giving George a cheer. And I'm sure he will come through and George will be back watching his beloved Bunnies sooner rather than later.
Fingers crossed. Thoughts with his friends and families. Hopefully he recovers there. He's in RPA, I think, according to your article. So, Bulldog, top half hour today, mate.
Thank
you. You were good.
I feel like
I'm got his radio shirt on today, Bulldog, don't you?
What's that?
You're going green.
I have.
Canberra green.
Yeah.
Supporting Loz. Loz has been copping a bit of stick about the Raiders.
He never really supports me, but I'm a different personality. I'm more loyal.
I told you before.
I pick and stick, Clarky.
I'm friends to your face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As soon as I walk out that studio.